This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The end is nigh for one of the world's most important interest rates. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's a number formulated in faraway London every day that may well play a role in whether your household budget is on track or goes bust. It's called LIBOR, the London Interbank Offer Rate. It's possible LIBOR sets your credit cards and adjustable mortgage rates even now. The news today is that LIBOR will be phased out over the next 4 years or so. The problem with LIBOR is that it became corrupt. In our partner newsroom in London, BBC business correspondent John T. Bloom is on the story.
There was a famous case here in which a dealer was jailed for about 15 years originally for fixing the LIBOR rate. But the scandal revealed some of the banks were actually lying about the LIBOR rates because they wanted to make it look as though they could borrow money more cheaply than they really could and therefore were in a better financial health than they really would. And that scandal really did undermine LIBOR terribly.
So undermined, it's now being phased out. Are we going to get something else?
Yes, we're going to get something called SONIA, which stands for the Sterling Overnight Index Average, but not for a couple of years. They're going to have to phase out LIBOR, and one of the reasons they're doing it is actually there isn't that much dealing going on amongst the banks at the moment. So they're setting an average based on very few transactions, and they realize that can't go on forever. They're going to have to find another way of finding an average which better reflects how much it costs to borrow money in the financial markets.
Sonia, that has a, I would say, charming lilt to it, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it's much more attractive than LIBOR, isn't it? But they always seem to come up with a word somehow, don't they?
They do, these acronyms. John T. Bloom, business correspondent for the BBC. John T., thanks.
A pleasure, David.
One economic gauge today are orders for long-lasting expensive goods. There's news that durable orders went up 6.5%, which seems dramatic, but it was mostly Boeing aircraft. Take out planes and cars, and you get a less inspiring rise of 0.2%. Something else market players are chewing on, news this week, the White House won't decide if the Federal Reserve chair stays or goes until the end of this year. Here's economist Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago.
The challenge is that we just don't know. The president has announced that he will not announce until December, and he's pitted current Fed Chair Yellen against NEC Chair, National Economic Council Chair, in his White House, Gary Cohn. Gary Cohn's former Goldman Sachs Chief Operating Officer. We know nothing about his views on monetary policy and what's going to go on in regulation and interest rates. So that means we're going to be going into even more uncertainty as we approach the end of the year. And chances are we expect the president will pick someone closer to him that he knows than someone he doesn't know very well, which means regime change at the helm of the Fed. This is the largest change, 5 of 7 governor seats that could be replaced, including the chair and vice chair, in the history of the Fed since 1936.
Gary Cohn or continuation of Janet Yellen, we have to wait until around, I guess, the holidays of 2017 to find out. Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago, thank you.
Thank you.
Last month, we introduced you to Chris Arnotti, a reporter for The Guardian, who's been crisscrossing the U.S. covering poverty, addiction, and what brings us together and what divides us. Something else I learned about Chris, his work often takes him to McDonald's. In the 19th century, we had the Grange Hall. Now we gather over Egg McMuffins, apparently, Chris argues.
I call them the ad hoc community centers. I kind of say if you give people a landscape, a world of fast food franchises, they'll form communities within a world of fast food franchises. There's often 4 or 5 different morning groups. Large, some of them give themselves names. Romeo Club, the retired old men eating out. There's church groups that meet in McDonald's, Bible studies in McDonald's. There's regulars who play chess games in McDonald's.
But I hear the irony that you're embracing here. I mean, McDonald's Corporation has these prefab chain outlets, but you have these authentic experiences inside.
Yeah, and you know, I was spending a lot of time working with those people who are on the cusp of society, people who have a heroin addiction, people who are homeless. And I found myself, like them, spending a lot of time in McDonald's because they spend a lot of time in McDonald's, and they spend a lot of time in McDonald's because it offers a place of refuge. They can sit at their table, they can get a cheap meal, they can use Wi-Fi, they can often charge their phones because there's outlets, and then they can use a bathroom to clean up. And I started using them the same way when I'm on the road as places to, you know, can I just sit for an hour and a half to write, collect my thoughts? And that's when I noticed the other people using McDonald's. And when I'm in a town, I'm in a new place, that's how I end up making relationships with people.
So, Chris, give me an example. You're sitting at McDonald's. Where? And you, what did you learn one day?
I was in Battle Creek, Michigan, and one of the elderly women there, you know, I asked her age. She was 86, I believe. And she says, I'm glad I'm old. And I looked at her and said, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean you're glad you're old? She goes, I wouldn't want to be young. Me, I met my husband on the factory floor. We walked out of high school together. We got jobs. We built a wonderful life. She says, I don't see that for my children or my grandchildren. That codified so much of what I saw across the country of people who just felt, you know, the world wasn't working for them.
Chris Arnotti writes for Britain's The Guardian newspaper. Now, he notes that some McDonald's do have the no loitering signs up, but it's just a few, not all. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.